realize that your love indeed covers over us. It's like a warm blanket this morning that we are surrounded by, that we are encouraged by, that we are strengthened by to live our lives. Lord Jesus, we come before you and recognize that love that surpasses all. Lord, we can never understand fully the depth of it or the height of it or even the breadth of it, Lord. It'll take eternity, and even beyond eternity, where there's such a thing, it's going beyond eternity to look at that love and be amazed at its multifacetedness, all different aspects of how it reaches to us and how it's cleansed us, how it's moved us, how it's empowered us. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We want to praise you and exalt your holy name for that great love that is towards us, each as an individual, and to us corporately as a church. Lord, we thank you for that love, because as that love comes and fills our heart, Lord, we in kind can love in the same measure, but not anywhere near as great as your love, but in the same way, Lord, laying down our lives for others, giving ourselves away at cost to ourselves. Lord Jesus, we pray to that end that, Lord, you would so enrich us and bless us and give us that full knowledge this morning of your great love, to know that there is an inward dimension, there is an upward dimension, and there is an outward dimension to our lives and way of worship. And really, our worship is all about that love that you have for us, that you gave first of all to us, and then we reflect that to those around us. We're filled to fullness inside, and then in our inner man, that we move to bless you and honor and glorify you, Lord Jesus. And then we reach out to our neighbors, our friends, those that are close, those that are far away from us. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that are scattered around the world, that are serving you in diverse places. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the blessing that they have in serving you in so many places, Lord, and giving themselves away. Lord, we pray for strength for them in their inner man. We pray that you would bless them and encourage them in the diverse places, in places of loneliness, Lord, in places where they don't have family members around them. They don't have a culture that they are familiar with. They don't even have a language that they're familiar with. Lord, we pray for them that you will add strength to their days and that you'll embolden them to proclaim your truth boldly in places where your name is not proclaimed and your name is not known. We ask for this, our missionaries that serve around our world, not just with the CNMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, but with all the diverse mission groups that serve you and all the church groups that sponsor them, encourage them, and empower them through their finances. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the opportunity to have so many faithful missionaries that are serving you all around this world. We commit ourselves as well this morning to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you, to serve each other, to serve our community. Bless us now as we listen to your word and speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for praying along with me. Well, I'd hope you'd turn to your inflated bulletin this morning, and I call it inflated because it's, a bigger bulletin this morning, and flip to the inside to follow along with us the sermon outline this morning. We're looking at a passage, of course, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And as I was out for a run this morning, I took along my memory cards and was refreshing myself in this verse as I meditate on it as I was running. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I've entitled the message this morning, The Three Dimensions of Worship. And of course, we have as our theme verse looking at John chapter 4, verse 23, and how Jesus approached the woman at the well and how they had this discussion about where is the proper place to worship and how should we worship and why should we worship. And Jesus defined for her what true worship was. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seek. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul gets right down to it and urges us as believers to livingly and worshipfully honor God by the sacrifice of our bodies, a willing sacrifice. There's no such thing as really a living sacrifice, is there? Excuse me, my mic is kind of getting tied up here. Such thing as a living sacrifice. They are usually very dead, are they not? In the Old Testament, they would slay the animal before they cut it up in pieces and laid it upon the altar to be burnt as a sacrifice towards God. So Paul is trying to get at something here that is very different in way of worship being a living sacrifice. The sacrifice, of course, was the central part of the offering and the central part of worship for the Old Testament cultic practices of worship. That taking of that animal and slaying it and cutting it and putting it upon the altar was the very focus of people saying, we have broken the covenant, we have sinned, we have done wrong before this holy God. And we must make amends to this God, to this covenant that we have broken before God, because God is indeed holy and laid out this amazing law for us that we might live unto God. And so we have to deal with our sin before God. And that sin is dealt with by the slaying and the shedding of blood for our sins. And so that animal was offered. But in the Old Testament as well, it was very clear that these living sacrifices offered to God because of the breaking of the covenant was something more than just the offering of an animal. Paul calls it here living sacrifices. And certainly as a living sacrifice, he has certain intentions there towards us as worshipers. What is it that we should be doing that would make it a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? Well, first of all, obviously, it involves the content of our lives. To be living involves, you know, cooking breakfast in the morning, getting dressed, doing all those things that we function in life. All those things, Paul is saying here, are to be laid out as an offering to God. Have you had that intentionality of your life? To really think of it that, you know, that is what it is ought to be ongoingly. And a continual basis, I believe, is this the matter of the verbiage here in the Greek is that it's an ongoing basis. It's not a punctiliar once in a lifetime or on a Sunday morning, but an ongoing continuation of worship to God is the idea of the living sacrifice. And then also a willingness. Because a living sacrifice has to be willing. If you kill the animal, it has no choice. It gets laid on the altar. But if it's a living sacrifice, this third point is that it has to be willing to climb onto that altar and be offered to God. So there's a willingness in way of our worship that must be meted out to God to be holy and pleasing to God in way of our worship. I would like to call for a three-dimensional aspect of worship for us this morning that Paul would engage us with in being a living sacrifice. The first being an inward dimension, The second being an upward dimension, and the third being an outward dimension of our worship. So first of all, the inward dimension. Even in the Old Testament, God made it clear that obedience of heart, inward obedience towards God was what he sought. We see this clearly in a number of Old Testament passages that I would draw your attention to. Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 and 8 says this, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And then there's the accounting of Samuel and how he had approached Saul to offer worship. And he said, Saul, before you go into battle, I am going to meet you, and we will together offer up this offering towards God. And of course, Saul had gone to battle and captured many people and killed many people, and then he had taken the best of the animals, and he had disobeyed God because God said, you know, it's to be a holy offering towards me, so slay everything. But Saul didn't do that. He took the animals, and when Samuel approached and was a little bit late for the time of the offering, Saul said to him, Samuel, I'm ready, you know. And Samuel said to him, what is this bleeding and all these animals I hear? And these are the words from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. But Samuel replied, "Does not the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Saul, Jesus says as much to the Pharisees, does he not, when he condemns their worship as merely cleaning the outside of the cup and not dealing with the innards of the cup. Luke chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, "Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also?" The Pharisees made a great spectacle of their cleansing rituals, their washing rituals, and so cleansed the outside of the cup. And Jesus says, no, you're missing the whole point. First clean the inside of the cup, and then wash the outside of the cup. They love to think of themselves as clean before God in doing all the ritualistic things of their lives. But really, God said, and through Jesus, that this was something that they had to work on, was the inner man, the inner life. Religious appearances and showmanship can be a great curse to us who call ourselves Christians. Appearances, showmanship becomes part of religiosity. It's easy to get caught up with what others think of us to the point that it becomes all-important and all-consuming. People just look at us and they say, well, there's someone that's very religious. And in appearances, it looks that way. But what's most important, God says to us, is what's inside. Certainly, the living sacrifice means something in way of our worship towards God has to involve the heart, the inner person. We should have a greatest concern for this inward dimension towards God, because God says in his word that he looks upon the heart. This is why I believe on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus delivers the law, but intensifies the law as an inward reality that one must live out of. And that if one does not live out of this inward reality, then one is no better than the Pharisees and the scribes. And certainly Jesus said, you must surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. It can't just be an outward religiosity, a cleansing of the outside of the cup. Look at even Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. The inward dimension of worship must grip us as Christians, as we seek to relate to God. Then there's this upward dimension of worship. The upward dimension of being a living sacrifice towards God is wonderfully summed up in a passage in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says there, through Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. The sacrifice of praise directs us in all that we do Godward. It is so easy to become pedestrian in our lives, in thinking and in our actions, that we just look at the horizontal plane as all important to us. Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes is all about that meaninglessness and a chasing after the wind of just seeing life as basically on the horizontal plane and having no vertical dimension to it. But we as people, as Christians, ought to more so have an upward, Godward vision that it is all about God and the way we live. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Out for my runs this week, of course, we've had some snow and that's collected, and it's made the pathway along the river a little icy and a little dicey at times. And I noticed even during earlier in the week when I was running, I was focused on the path, you know, as I was running because I didn't want to slip and fall. I thought, you know, it's great to run, but to slip and fall, you know, you never know what can happen with that. So my mind was totally focused on the trail and the path before me. And I always like to take an opportunity to stop when I'm running, to stop and to enjoy the scenery. And I got one or two places in my run that I like to stop. One place is right by the Coquitlam River. It kind of takes a bend, and you can kind of look down at the river. And the trees are all full of moss. And I always notice that there's a, you know, one of those bobbers, those red and white bobbers from a fishing setup. And there's always, you know, this morning, even there was a guy fly fishing this morning. And I looked down, and there was that bobber hanging from one of the trees. So somebody had kind of cast, and it got looped around the tree, and there it sat. But just to look and to see the moss, to see the river, to hear the birds, to see the beauty of God's creation, you have to stop. You have to pause, don't you? Our lives become so busy, and we can become so pedestrian and so horizontal in our focus. We just got to get everything done, and we got to make sure we're not going to slip and we're not going to fall. And then, you know, we keep going and we keep going. And we don't take the chance just to stop and look and direct our lives again Godward and say, no, it's not just about the horizontal things. It's about God and who He is, His great love towards us, His great mercies upon us. And because of that mercy, then I can live my life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. Oh God, keep me from just a horizontal, pedestrian kind of existence. Keep me always focused upon You and upon all the glory that is around me. That takes stopping, being still before God, and looking at the beauty and absorbing that, soaking it in. That takes some time. It doesn't take a quick flash by, a glance to the left or right. You've got to stop and soak it in. That's what you're doing this morning as you come to worship. You're stopping. You're slowing down and saying, what's most important to me? What is it that I offer to God? I offer my time. I offer my money. I offer my service. Because he's central. He's the most important thing in my life. That's worship. That's what we're to be about. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. As a teen, I had a poster in my bedroom. It was a smallish poster, but it had a mountaintop on it and a little cloud and a couple trees in the foreground. And on it was an excerpt from a poem. And I always mess up this guy's. I was going to ask Pastor Jim about this. This guy's an Italian guy. Michelangelo is his first name, but I know I'm going to butcher his last name. Buonarroti, I think is his last name. 1475 to 1564, he wrote this poem, and I just took a little bit more out of it than what was on the poster, but it says, ravished by all that the eyes is fair, yet hungry for the joys that truly bless, my soul can find no stair to mount to heaven save earth's loveliness. That last part, my soul can find no stair to mount to heaven save earth's loveliness. To pause, to reflect on the beauty of God's creation and say, God's made that. God's made all that beauty in his creation. And I worship him. I adore him. Have you allowed your heart that pause, that time that it needs to climb the staircase? Not just once, but on a regular basis. It can't be a one-off. It's a continuousness that is needed in our lives and way of worship to be truly a living sacrifice. I caught a segment of John Piper's sermon this week as I was preparing my message this morning. It was on sexual temptation. I thought, oh, this is a good subject. I should take a look at this because I noticed even as I was scrolling, looking for some material and thinking about my sermon, I look on YouTube a little bit. And as I was scrolling down YouTube, I think there must have been 12 different pictures on YouTube with scantily clad women, you know, right there. And of course, they were begging me just to click on it and say, you know, find out what this woman has to say about whatever subject they were advertising. How does a pastor do his research on Sunday for Sunday preaching? So when I saw John Piper and it said something like 10 counseling tips for single people, I thought, oh, that's probably something about sexual temptation. So I got to click on that and take a look at it. So I listened to his message, and there was one particular point that I thought was particularly apt in way of the message this morning, dealing with sexual temptation, because really our world is rife with it. And if we are going to be directing ourselves Godward and upward, how is it that we are to maintain that upward vision on a continuous basis when we're bombarded continually by sexual temptation? It's all around us all the time. So how do we deal with that? And so Piper gave some good advice here, and particularly one point I wanted to draw out for you this morning was the performance of a very conscious act of transference onto Christ. He said, you take that desire and you say, Jesus, it's there now. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and my God. My greatest desire in all the world is to love you and delight in you. Therefore, Lord, I take this desire away from the evil one and I transfer it to you. Rescue me from the bondage of this desire in my body and give me a rightful desire to worship you. John Piper said that this is the most helpful thought he had in way of dealing with sexual temptation out of the 10 other things that he had to say in way of dealing with sexual temptation. And there's a lot of good stuff on the internet, but there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet as well. And particularly as a man, we're drawn by our eyes. And so continually we get bombarded by all this sexual content all the time. How are we to deal with that? Piper says, transference to Christ. Take those desires that start to boil, sexual desires that start to percolate within you, and say, Christ, my God, I am here to desire you. You're the greatest one I want to worship. Take this desire, the sexual desire that is being stirred within my body. Take that desire and may it be a desire to worship you with my body. It says here in the text, does it not, that we be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Not just our minds, but our bodies. So that involves our sexual part of our bodies. That involves our intellectual, our emotional, our physical. All that we are is to be a worship unto God. So how do we cope with our sexualized world that we live in today? Now we hear so much about sexual harassment all the time in the news. And we wonder, well, where's that all coming from? When we're spirit-led and spirit-controlled, I believe that God empowers us and enables us to overcome those sexual temptations and draws us unto Himself to be Godward, to live our lives upward is something different than just living our lives on the horizontal basis. When that's the only basis that we live our lives on, we get drawn into sexual temptation and get carried away by it. God doesn't want us to live our lives in such fashion. He wants us to be living sacrifices. Well, thirdly, here the outward dimension. This verse, you can draw so much out of this verse in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I've had it written down and I've memorized it and I've meditated on it. And every time I go over it again, it percolates and draws something more out of me in way of worship to God. And I think that's the way scriptures are, that as we come and we think about these things and we try to think about them more deeply, they really bring out for us what the power of God working in us and His Holy Spirit can more work in the transformational aspect of our lives. And isn't that what verse 2 talks about being no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind? We have to be renewed in our mind to be able to really live the outward life as God has called us to. That it be an outward life that is first Godward and inward in way of the reality of what God has done within our hearts and our lives. And then it can be lived outwardly. If we get the cart before the horse, so to speak, what happens if we just look at serving God and doing those things that are outwardly proficient in way of saying, okay, I'm coming to the church service, I'm sitting in the pew, I'm listening to sermons, I'm singing songs, I'm doing all the outward things, but there's no inward reality. There's no upward reality in my life. And so we get this tension that happens within our hearts and our lives. God doesn't want us to be in tension. He wants to draw all those things together in pure worship to Him. So to have that outward dimension, sometimes as Christians we get focused on one dimension over another dimension. Wherein the reality of the thing is that we need all those dimensions working together. We need that inward dimension. We need that upward dimension. We need that outward dimension. If we just major on one of those things, we become unbalanced, like lifting a barbell with one arm all the time. and this arm gets huge, and this one's like a skinny mini, right? It just doesn't work. You need to lift both barbells and get both, the whole body physically attuned, right? Same with our spiritual lives. Same with our worship. We need these three aspects. So the outward dimension, and we see this in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Worship is best reflected in how we relate to one another and how beautiful that can be in way of singing this morning. As we sing to one another in worship, worship draws us together corporately and then pronounces that to God in way of how we are to be directed towards God in praise and adoration of His holy name. That can really help us and shape us and transform us. Sometimes, though, when we come to church, maybe you might not feel like an apt singer. You might feel like, I can't really carry a tune in a bucket, let alone coming into a church service. So, we kind of mute it down and kind of keep it under our breath. And so we don't really project that outward thing, but we try to more hold it back. And sometimes that can really bend you out of shape, too, when some people have such musical gifts displayed on the platform, and you know that you struggle with that. I wondered for a long time why I couldn't sing. I thought as a child, I had a real problem with singing. And I always usually sang in church next to my father. And it wasn't long before my father revealed kind of over dinner that he was tone deaf. And I said, aha, now I know why I have such a problem singing, is because he can't sing. And after realizing that I had to get away from him to be able to sing, I noticed that my singing started to improve. And it's interesting that how we impact each other, but my father will openly talk about that now, but when I sing beside him, he sings the words, but he doesn't know the melody or anything else. He just, kind of fits the words in, and he sings quietly now. He doesn't sing out loud, so it helps a lot, but I haven't sung beside him for quite a while. He had no ear whatsoever, really, to carry a proper note. It's no wonder I couldn't sing for so long. I love my dad. I just can't sing beside him. Here's a big lesson on how we can love each other, isn't it? We can make a big deal out of those things that we have as weaknesses. Or we can make a big deal out of those things that we have as strengths. And a lot of times, because of our low self-image, we don't praise people as we ought for their strengths. And sometimes we like to criticize and point out each other's weaknesses. But really, that isn't being outward in way of loving each other. To truly love one another outwardly, we first of all have to have an inward strength, comfortable in our own skins of who we are as loved of God. And if we're loved of God, we know that in our strengths and our weaknesses, they're all part of who we are as a person. And that God loves us even in the mix of our weaknesses and our strengths. Coming to that, we can look into other people's lives. But if we come in to point out to them their weaknesses and their foibles and their wrong positions on stuff, it tears each other apart. Because in reality, we all kind of know each other's weakness. I was kind of debating with myself this morning whether I should get some rouge on. I was going to look through my wife's makeup kits and get some rouge on my nose and make my nose bright red this morning. And see how many people would start looking at me and saying, you know, hey, how come your nose is so red, you know? Or maybe stick a piece of toilet paper in my glasses, you know, so it would kind of hang out and dangle here in front of my face as I preached and stuff like that, right? But I thought, oh, that might be too distracting to this point in the sermon. People would be just wondering about that piece of toilet paper or my red nose, right? And I thought, no, that won't work. But I thought, you know, right here at this sermon point is so good because we get distracted by each other's weaknesses, and it trips us up because sometimes we're strong in an area, another person is weak, and so we just want to fix that, pull that piece of toilet paper out of that glasses, you know, or dust off the nose so it's not so glaring. And so we try to fix each other, and we try to criticize each other and make each other work better. But the problem with that is it tears us apart. We all know that maybe there's a piece of toilet paper there, or our nose is red, or there's some defect to us. But having somebody else point it out to us makes it even more painful. Oh, you noticed that about me. I feel so ashamed and so embarrassed about that. Much more better is to look into each other's lives and say, wow, that is so beautiful about that, you. I love you for that. And it could be maybe the way you dress, or maybe the way you've combed your hair this morning, or what you've said, or some action that you've had that has been good or outstanding or excellent. We should be looking for those things. And that's how we can be more outward and more creatively blessing each other, rather than pointing out all the foibles, the wrongness, the political incorrectness of our words and our actions and the piece of toilet paper or whatever it is that is getting your goat. You know, if we draw back from that and look into each other's lives and bless each other with outward realities that we can say, hey, man, I love that about you. I think that's great. And that's not to give you a swelled head, but it's to encourage you and to bless you and to enable you to more work on that strength in your life. We love each other better by not conforming to the pattern of this world, which is so competitive and so much in way of tearing each other down, and the me first generation that we have all become a part of living in this world. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Transform your mindset to love on each other and to so love in such a way as to build each other up in Christ Jesus. There's an inward dimension to our worship. There's an upward dimension to our worship. And there's an outward dimension to our worship. Would you so worship God on a continual basis this morning and throughout your week and throughout your life? Would you so worship God with all that you are willingly? Not because you have to, but because you love God and God has loved, first of all, loved you. Let's sing. And if you're tone deaf, please keep it down. And I don't know. Worship God with all that you are. Come worship team.
Let's rise.
Spirit and truth.
benediction this morning. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Turn your bulletin to just a few brief announcements this morning. We want to encourage you. I misstepped a little bit this morning. I realized it as I was taking my shower this morning. Sorry for that information. I do take showers after my runs. But as I stepped into the shower, I realized I double booked myself again. 2:30 today was supposed to be care home at Dufferin Care Center, and I was supposed to be there. And I've been trying to get a few guys together to get a truck up to pick up some of the furniture up at Peter Chung's place in his garage and to move it down to our Adji family's place. So I'm supposed to be at two places at the same time, so I'm going to have to maybe beg off Joyce to do a little devotional and not show up at Dufferin Center so I can help with a move. But if you're interested in helping with the move, we're meeting at the church here at 2:30, collecting our thoughts and then driving up to Peter's place and then going over to Angel's place, who has a little bit more furniture, putting that in the truck and then driving it over to 3199 Toba Drive to be able to put that and store that in the new suite that we cleaned yesterday. So from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, a bunch of us were there, you know, scrubbing on the fridge. And we looked in the stove, and it looked like the stove was falling apart in the back. But the reality was somebody sprayed some cleaner in the back and never, you know, cleaned it off. So if we turned on the stove, the whole thing probably would have lit up. But fortunately for us, Don was there, and he had Susan was helping him, and we were all working on that stove. At least I wasn't. I was on the fridge. But Don was there. They cleaned it, and it looks like a brand new stove. It's just amazing. So we did a lot of cleaning, and people brought some stuff in the afternoon, donated different things that my wife has had the board out there. People have picked off the stickers and are bringing stuff, you know. And so we're going to have another day this week, probably on the Saturday afternoon, next Sunday. I think we should also have the Saturday afternoon thing because we'll have our training for the First Nations stuff in the morning. And then the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, we hope to have an opportunity for you to bring your stuff again because there's lots of people that are still needing to bring stuff. So Saturday afternoon and then maybe Sunday afternoon as well, to bring your stuff back to the Adji's home at 3199 Toba. Okay, so those things are happening. Also, we have our baptismal class and membership class happening. That is next weekend, so the Saturday will be the baptismal class, and the Sunday will be the membership class. If you would like to be baptized on Easter Sunday, April the 1st, please come and attend these classes, okay? So for those that are being baptized, you need to be at both classes on the Saturday and Sunday evenings. For those that are wanting to transfer their membership, they just need to attend the Sunday evening class, okay? So it doesn't matter in way of transference where you're coming from. You need to take that membership class. So please come and talk to me after the service and say, yes, Pastor, I want to be there. So I have enough notes for those of you that wanted to attend. So that's next Saturday and Sunday. Also, our deadline is passed for our people that are wanting to go on this mission trip on the 17th, 18th of this month. We have almost 10, 11 people that are wanting to go from our Mandarin congregation and I think a couple from our Cantonese congregation and also our English congregation. We're a little bit more rounded this time. So it's going to be a great opportunity, but we need your prayers. So please do pray for us. We also need a bag filled with soap again and shampoo and toothpaste. So these are the bags that we're going to do. And my wife says she wants to put a little heart, fabric heart on there for us, stamp. So we're going to be passing these bags out, door knocking on the reservation, and giving these to them and inviting them to the dinner and also the service on Sunday afternoon on the 18th. So would you be so bold as to think of maybe some toothbrushes, some soap, maybe some small shampoo? As these bags are kind of small, we don't need the giant, you know, thing of shampoo or anything like that. We like the travel size portions. So it's just a small gift to say, hi, we love you. We would like you to come to the service at the church on the First Nation, Victory First Nation Church in Nanaimo. Would you consider doing that? Seeing what, you know, little things you can pick up at maybe Superstore or London Drugs or whatever. They have a lot of those kind of little toiletry items. Hand towels, hand, little bits of soap, whatever. Welcome to bring those next weekend and bring those to the church so we can fill these bags. I got about 50 of them. So please help us with that. Also, our tax clinic is happening this Saturday. So if you know people that are of low income and would be able to be helped by that, please get them to sign up by phoning the church office. And we're looking for a great Good Friday service. That's going to be on the Good Friday, of course. And we're joining together with our Acts 2:42 church again. So we're coming together as worship teams and also as pastors. Pastor Sam and myself are going to be doing some devotional kind of thing with communion as big part of our Good Friday service. So you'll want to be there for that at 10:15 on the Good Friday. So God bless you as you go into your week, and worship Him with all that you are. Bow your heads now in silent prayer and then be dismissed into your week.